Lord, just as in Isaiah 6, your train filled the temple, Lord, I pray the manifestation would fill this place today.
Yes.
We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, God, that you, the infinite one, the God above all gods, the King above all kings, would even show interest in us. Then you would make a way for us to have a relationship with you. But still, Lord, even understanding that is not enough to realize you're passionately in love with us. You seek us out. You don't just allow us. You hunt us down, showing your love to us, declaring your goodness. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bought our salvation with your own blood. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a little word of warning to you this morning. This sermon is loaded with information, and I need you to be able to focus as much as you can in order to retain as much of this information as you can. Christy and I bought an Isuzu Rodeo years ago. This little car, it was something to get us by for a while. And I remember the most frustrating thing about that car is until the day we sold it, we could not find a cup holder in that car. I mean, and I always thought, we're going to sell this to somebody, and they're going to push or pull something somewhere, and all of a sudden there's going to be a cup holder. I'm so frustrated because it was been there all along. I remember, you know, just thinking about that. Like, when I get a cell phone, I don't know what I'm getting until I get it. I don't know what's on that phone. I need, a teenager to show me how to do all that stuff. When you came to Christ Jesus, you didn't know all you got when you got him. He continues to turn up the lights of our understanding so that we can understand all that we got when we got Jesus. It's awesome. And so today I'm going to be talking about covenant. We are starting a foundational sermon today that will continue for the next couple of weeks. And so I need to lay as much foundation work in the scriptures as we can. That's why I preach in series. So it's not just a one-off sermon. I want to be able to build one upon the next. And so I need you to just be listening today. As Miss Barron in kindergarten at Bel Air Elementary School told me, put your thinking cap on. Put your thinking cap. Focus now and learn with me. Genesis chapter 9 is the first mention of the word covenant in the Bible. There is, in biblical interpretation, there is what we call the law of first mention. When you see a word first mentioned in the Bible, there will be some of that truth carried over into the other mentionings of that word. This first covenant that we see mentioned is the covenant with Noah, and we would call it the Noahic covenant. And God has now had to hit the reset button on creation because evil had just so spread across the earth that he had to start over again with the flood. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 9, God says, As for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. I need you to catch verse 9. God says, as for me, I establish my covenant with you. This is a one-sided covenant. God is establishing his covenant with humanity, and not just humanity, but all creation, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, every living thing. Verse 10, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, and of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again, here's this covenant, never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. The sign is this, verse 13, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And so I wanted you to understand that each covenant will have at least two things, and there are going to be an oath, and there's going to be a sign. God said, here's my oath. I make a promise to you that I will never flood the earth again. shall never flood the earth. And here's a sign that you can look to that sign and be reminded of the earth. And the sign is the rainbow. Now, there's an element of our population today that likes to use the rainbow in a way that's almost snubbing our nose at God, saying, you're not going to destroy the earth again. But I'll tell you, this is a beautiful thing. It says, as I look to the rainbow, I remind myself I will never flood the earth again and destroy all creation. Verse 13, I set my rainbow in the cloud. It shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be a cloud, and I will look on it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is in the earth. So there's the first mention of the covenant in the scriptures. It is a Noahic covenant. It is a one-sided covenant. It is even, there's no covenant like it ever before or even afterwards. And God says, even the animals I make a covenant with. And so we see this covenant. Now we move over to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced to Abram. His name would later be named Abraham. You might know this cat. When we were little kids in VBS, we used to sing, Father Abraham had many sons. Well, how do we become children of Father Abraham when he's the father of the Jewish people? Well, that will be revealed through these sermons that we're talking about the covenant. But God starts a promise with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and then he says in chapter 15, there's a covenant that I make with you. Chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Amen. Isn't it good to know that God is not only your protector, but he's also your provider? And more than just provider, he is an exceedingly great reward. With God, what else do you need? Amen. He said, I got you. Verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. You ever just stood out there and 1, 2, 3. Somebody talks, say, oh, you messed me up. I got to start over. Thousands, millions. He says, you can't count them all. And that's the point, Abram. That's going to be your descendants. And so verse 6, you need to catch verse 6. You'll see it all through the scriptures. And he believed in the Lord. And he, God, accounted it to him, Abram, for righteousness. Abram just said, you say it, I believe it. That's what you say, God. I believe it. This has been the pattern of life for Abram. Abram was brought up in Ur of the Chaldees, way far east of here. And God appeared to him one day and said, Abram, I'm going to move you to a new country, a new place. I'm going to give that new place to you. Abram said, all right, where are we going, God? He said, you'll know when you get there. So Abram just started off walking with God and starts heading west. And God says, I'll let you know when you make it. Can you have that kind of faith to say, okay, God, I don't know where we're going, but if you're with us, let's go. And then he gets there and God says, now that you're here, Abram, now just know that I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to bless other nations through you. Everyone that blesses you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. And all the people of the world can be blessed through you, Abraham. Who is he referring to when God says, through Abraham, that all the world can be blessed? It's Jesus. That perfect Sunday school answer is always, every time, Jesus. If I ask you a question, just say Jesus. All right. And so, Abraham, all the world be blessed through you. And so, he is going to cut a covenant. This is a phrase that is used when it comes to covenant. And so, God is going to cut a covenant with Abraham. You're about to see it. Verse 7, let's kind of go over the history and then into the present with Abraham. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. Now, I want you to notice that the word land is going to come up over and over and over again when it comes to the covenant with Abraham. It's going to come up with the covenant to Isaac. It's going to come up with a covenant to Jacob. I need you to understand that when God has made this covenant, God has promised the Jewish people the land of Israel. Now, we are in a time in this world in which there's more anti-Semitism in this day and age right now that you're living in since the Holocaust. But I know you understand that it's not just Israel that the enemy hates. He hates any people group that are in covenant with God. Everything is under attack that is in covenant with God. We're going to be bringing that out in the sermon series, but just know everything that is in covenant with God is under attack. And so when you recognize that all of these things are under attack, then you have, there's one common denominator. That's the devil. And he hates the covenant. Why does he hate the covenant? Because the covenant is the demise of the devil. You defeat him by the covenant. If God is for us, who can be against us? That is a covenant statement. I need you to catch that. That is a covenant statement. God is for us. We are on his side, Psalm 118. That God is for us, who can be against us? So God says, this covenant I'm making with you, what is connected to the covenant is the land. The land. Just know it. I don't care what your politician thinks. God promised Abraham the land. Amen? Anyone who comes and tries to convince Israel to give away their land is coming against God and his word. Now, there's a lot of ignorance out there in the world. There's stupidity, too. But ignorance is just not knowing. Stupidity is knowing, just being stupid. But there's ignorance. And there's a lot of talk about Israel right now. Just know that they are the covenant people of God, and he's promised them this land. And it's going to even get specific as to what land he has promised them. But let's go to verse 8. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So verse 9. So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. And then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and down the middle, top to bottom, and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. I need you to kind of see what's going on now. This is what we call a cutting of the covenant. Man could do this with man, in which a person would say, I want to form a covenant with you. And you'll see this in scriptures, and when you read it, you might not connect it, but there will be a phrase that says, let it be so unto me if I break this covenant with you. What is happening? A covenant is being cut. They'll take an animal and cut it in half and put it on one side and on the other side, and they walk through the blood together and say, we are now in blood covenant with one another. God is doing this with Abraham. He says, bring these animals, cut them down the middle. And then it's a weird, there's nothing ever else in the scriptures like this event in which God says, I want to do this, Abraham. I want you to cut these animals, put them aside. The blood's in the middle. And then God puts Abraham to sleep, and God walks through the middle. God walks through the middle. I need you to catch this. Now, I also love verse 11. It's almost like, what's that doing in there? Because we got this cool picture of God about to walk through the blood and form this covenant. And then it says in verse 11, and when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. I want you to know the vultures are always coming down. You're going to have to fight the vultures off of the covenant. You're going to have to fight the vultures, those things that love death. You're going to have to keep them away from your relationship with the Lord. That stuff that wants to bring you down, that wants to gnaw on in darkness and decay and death, fight the vultures off. Amen? Just fight them off. There's other scriptures that are just interesting. That would be a good study for you to do, of people fighting off the vultures. I hope you're a buzzard beater. Just fight off the vultures. Verse 12. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. So there's these carcasses split in two. Abram's been fighting the buzzards off, and now all of a sudden it's getting dark. And he goes to sleep. And in his sleep, these night terrors begin happening. When you go into the spiritual realm, it gets severe. You know what I'm talking about? It gets severe. You go into a realm that now all of a sudden, God didn't call you into safety. He didn't call you in. Jesus said, I didn't come bring peace. I came bring a sword. When you enter into the spiritual realm, you are not just entering into just this neat little tiptoe through the tulips. No, you're entering into a realm in which it gets severe. It gets And it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it. I really didn't understand the spiritual realm as I was pastoring for a good season. And I would go through the just spiritual attacks in the middle of the night. I remember this building was pretty new. And I was having this vision in my sleep, kind of like what Abraham's going through here. It was different than a dream, maybe you recognize. And in my vision, I'm locking up the doors, that door right over there in this building. I'm locking the double glass doors when something jumps on me. Now, I am at that moment in my bed laying face down, and I am feeling like I am being pushed into my bed. So it goes from a dream to this ain't just a dream. And I am being pushed down, and I remember to this day, it's so very clear, to this whisper in my spirit that says, is it worth it now? Is it worth it now? The sacrifice that you're making to pastor this church, I knew exactly what it was referring to. The things that you're going through to make sure that you're a lighthouse to the community, that spirit to say, is it worth it now? I'm going to tell you something. Some of y'all get freaked out right now. That's all right. I placed my hands on the bed, and I said, for the cause of Christ, and I'm pushing, for the cause of Christ, and when I said Christ, that thing let go of me, and for 2 weeks I walked around with a hurt back. I've bent over backward. I mean, just for the cause of Christ, it's worth it. Amen. And you know that statement is still just as true today, even more so. For the cause of Christ, whatever you may go through in order to be a partner in His kingdom work, it's worth it. Christianity ain't for cowards. Revelation 21:8. The first one on the list of those who go to the lake of fire is the coward. It's not for cowards. Abram is put to sleep, has these night terrors. Let's see where I'm at. We'll start in 13. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. God is prophesying about the nation of Israel going to Egypt and being held captive there in Egypt for 400 years. You know how I know that this word is true and God is real? When prophecy is given and God fulfills the prophecy. When I have someone who's an atheist or agnostic, and I'm trying to speak to them about scripture, I take them to the book of Daniel. I said, here's what God said was going to happen hundreds of years from the point in which He said it, and every one of them was fulfilled, and history tells us that. You can't do that unless you're God. I mean, it's just awesome. Anyway, God says the nation of Israel will be in captivity for 400 years. Verse 15, now it's for you, you shall go to your father in peace. You should be buried at a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall return here to the land, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. A whole nother sermon. Verse 17. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed through these pieces. That mess you up. You're laying there asleep, and you're looking over there at these critters that you've cut in half and laid to the side, and all of a sudden there's this stuff floating through them. A burning oven. It's not the kind of that you turn the dial on. Different kind of oven. Smoking torch. What was walking through the blood? God Himself. God Himself. Moses, you just lay there. You rest. Faith is rest. You trust. You keep on doing what you did before, that you believed God and it was accounted for righteousness. Lord, just lay right there. It's a one-sided covenant, Moses. And it came to pass, verse 17, it came to pass when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, there appeared smoking oven, burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. I kept saying Moses, didn't I? I meant Abram. Y'all know what I meant. Now, to your descendants, I have given this land. Here's the description. From the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. If humanity would have gone by that scripture, there'd be a whole lot of garbage not going on right now. Right now. In this day and age. Now, I better get off of that and keep preaching. So let's move on to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between you and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant. If you just underline every time it said my covenant, my covenant, my covenant. My covenant is with you and shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but now you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. The king shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant. Everybody say everlasting. Everlasting. There are different types of covenants. Some are conditional covenants. That's going to be the next one. But this is an everlasting covenant. How is it an everlasting covenant? There was a time and an age in which the Jewish people were scattered all over the planet. They didn't have a land and they didn't have a language. How is that an everlasting covenant? Because in 1948, God brought them back to their land and there was a dead language that was renewed. No other people group in the history of the world like this. It's an everlasting covenant. Ain't God cool? I don't know if that's appropriate to say he's cool, but that's just cool. Verse 8, also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you were a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants. Here's how they're going to keep it. Verse 10, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Every covenant has two things. What are they? An oath and a sign. An oath and a sign. And this one, the oath is, I'm going to make great nation of you, and all nations be blessed through you. Here's the sign, circumcision. Now remember it, because it plays a part in the New Testament. By the way, did I mention, I don't think I did in this service, your Bible is split into two pieces. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. I know Testament is what it might say on there, but you know what that Testament, that word is a covenant. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. During this sermon series, we're going to bring all of that to light, even just a little bit today. So I need you to continue to come. In Genesis chapter 28, God... I need to back up. Verse 21. Chapter 17, verse 21. God is saying, okay, Abraham, I need to give you a little background real quick. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Abraham said, well, you've been saying that, but I'm old. Hadn't had no kids. Sarai comes along, says, this ain't working. I'm not pregnant. I'm 90 years old. I'm not pregnant. Here, you take Hagar, my handmaiden, and you get her pregnant. And he said, okay. And they have a child named Ishmael. And God comes along and says, that's not the covenant child. If you'll remember, there's a passage in Scripture where Abraham is told to take Isaac, and he says, you take your son, your only son, to my. But that's not his only son. He has Ishmael. God doesn't recognize finagling. He only recognizes faith. God doesn't recognize manipulation. He recognizes faith. Isaac was the son. Verse 21, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac. She hadn't even born him yet, and he's already named him. God has already named him. I'm going to give my covenant to Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at a certain time next year. Now, moving on. Chapter 28, Jacob, Isaac has two sons. Abraham has Ishmael, Isaac. Isaac has Jacob and Esau. In chapter 28, Jacob is running for his life from his brother Esau, and God appears to Jacob. You have the ladder where the angels are ascending and descending on this ladder, and God tells Jacob, Jacob, I'm going to bring my covenant through you. I'm bringing my covenant through you. So now we have Abraham, we have his son Isaac, we have his son Jacob. And now I want to look at Exodus chapter 2. Does it feel like you're sipping out of a fire hydrant? It's kind of what it feels like to me. Chapter 2, I'm trying to lay down as much scripture as I can in a short amount of time. Verse 23. Remember what God promised Abraham? He says, your people are going to be taken away into a land that's not this land. They're going to be held captive for 400 years, and they're going to be servants. Well, this is where it was at. Egypt, in the book of Exodus, is the book in which they come out of Egypt 400 years after they went in. Chapter 2, verse 23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. The king that remembered them and blessed them is now dead. The next king don't know who they are, except that he's being outnumbered by the Jewish people. And so he put bondage on them. And they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard the groaning. And I need y'all to repeat this with me. Read it with me. And God remembered his covenant. Did y'all catch that? And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Chapter 6, verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. That word, Lord, if you see in your Bible, all capital letters, as you see it on the screen, that says Lord in English, but when it's in all capitals, it's the unique name Yahweh. Yes. I am the great I am. Amen. So y'all need to get excited. My goodness. Come on now. Verse 3. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Yahweh, I was not known to them. I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. And I have also heard, notice he said, back to the land. And I also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. I have remembered my covenant. I have remembered my covenant. Verse 6, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with my judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land in which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Amen. 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 I love it. He just says over to, I am the Lord. I'm Yahweh. I want you to look real quickly in Exodus 19. Let's see how I'm doing on time. Exodus 19. We are about to see the forming of another covenant. Remember, this is what we would call progressive revelation. Don't confuse it with progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity is not Christianity at all. It's Marxism. It's evil. Progressive revelation is God's turning up the lights as you can understand it. He's turning up the lights as you get it. So we have the Noahic covenant, the covenant of Noah. We have the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant with Abraham. And now we're getting the Mosaic covenant, the Moses covenant, the covenant with Moses. Chapter 19, verse 3, and Moses went up to God there on Mount Sinai. Went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That God has already brought them out of Egypt, and he's brought them to Mount Sinai, the very place where God first met Moses. And he says, now I'm going to form a new covenant. Not a new covenant. Refurbished covenant. Hang on to that. Verse 5, now therefore, I want you to catch this word, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be. All you English teachers, what kind of sentence is this? A conditional sentence. An if and then sentence. The previous covenant was God covenanting with all creation. The next covenant was God covenanting with a people group, the Jewish people. And then he says, it's one that I'm going to carry this covenant. I'm going to carry this covenant. You have a sign of the covenant, and that is circumcision, but I'm going to carry this covenant. I'm going to put you to sleep, Moses. I got this. This next covenant is a conditional covenant. Can y'all hang with me just a little bit? Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. No, they won't. They never could, never would, never did. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord's sitting there thinking, I've given this covenant to them to prove to them they can't be holy on their own. They can't be holy on their own. What's he doing? Progressive revelation. He's turning up the light so they're understanding till they come to a conclusion, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. Everybody with me on that? My goodness, if you could be holy on your own, why would Jesus have to die on the cross? You can't. That's why he did. In chapter 24, verse 1, now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders in Israel, and worship from afar. Back on Mount Sinai again. Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told all the people the words of the Lord and the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. By the way, while he's on the mountain the previous time, while he's on the mountain getting the words of the Lord, they're down there having a riotous party. We won't go into the details. Verse 4, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrifice and peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in the basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant. The book of the covenant. Now, I know you're thinking it's a book like this, a folding type of book, because that's our understanding of the book. But you know what covenant we got? It's called the Ten Commandments. It's on tablets of stone. It says, all the Lord said, we will do and be obedient. They would walk around following the Ark of the Covenant, in which was held the tablets of the covenant, saying, we're a covenant people. We're in covenant relationship with God. But God is continuing to turn up the revelation. Verse 8, and Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. And this progressive revelation, as God is turning up the lights of the understanding on them, now there is an introduction to the blood on them. Y'all following it? Now they're under the blood. Now there's this understanding. They will understand soon that they cannot be holy of their own accord, but they're also understanding there's something to do with the blood. In Exodus chapter 31, we have the sign. Remember with the Noahic covenant, the oath, I'll not destroy the earth by a flood. Here's the sign, a rainbow. Abrahamic covenant, the oath, you're going to be a mighty nation. Here's the sign, circumcision. Third covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the oath. You're going to be a priesthood, a royal priesthood people, a special people of God. Here's the sign, a Sabbath. Chapter 31, verse 12, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall be surely put to death, and whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among this people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but on the seventh day of the Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall be surely put to death. This is serious, isn't it? Verse 16. Therefore, who worked yesterday? Come on. Can you believe? We're going to kill you. God's serious. He's serious about stuff. By the way, that's a sign to the Jewish people. Today's the Lord's day. It's different. Whole nother Bible study. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, forever. What's the oath? You're going to be a special people. What's the sign? the Sabbath. You'll observe the Sabbath. I want to quickly jump to Jeremiah 31. I'm about to land this plane. There is so much information understanding the covenant that when you begin to realize all that's involved in the covenant, you're like, I didn't understand all that was a part of my salvation. I didn't get all that is involved in this relationship with the Lord. Oh, just wait for next week. Next week's going to be so good. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Everybody say new covenant. He is promising, prophesying through the prophet Jeremiah that you and I will get in on a new deal. Amen. I'm going to bring a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. What covenant was that? The Mosaic covenant. I need you to understand, when we understand the new covenant, it is connected to the covenant of Abraham, not the covenant of Moses. You get that? Next week you will. It's connected to the covenant of Abraham. And when God says, you just rest in my promises, I'm walking through the blood, I've got this. Not with Moses of, you make the sacrifices, you fulfill the commandments. It's on you. It's not a conditional one. Our new covenant relationship with God is connected to the covenant with Abraham. We'll draw that out soon. Verse 32. According to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke because they couldn't keep it, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. By the way, New Testament church, you get in on that covenant. Even though you're not Jewish, the Bible says we've been grafted into the covenant with Abraham. Yes. Amen. Woo. Verse 34. Though no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more. Yes. Ain't that good news? Yes. That is such good news that God says, the God who knows everything, who forgets nothing, is willing to forget your sins. Amen. I want to close with one last verse. So much. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, Abrahamic covenant. You being dead in your trespasses, uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Amen. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. When the accuser comes and says, he's a sinner. She is trashy. She's a sinner. I know what she's thinking. I know what she's doing. Jesus says, nope, she's under the blood, and those sins have been paid for. Amen. You're a part of the new covenant. We're going to unveil more about the new covenant and all the characteristics of some of the characteristics of the covenant next week. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, I pray that your people, every one of us, would get excited, passionately in love with you. Because you're the God who says, rest in my promises. And you bring your holiness. Thank you, God, for your goodness. When we brought you our worst, you brought us your best. You are the Redeemer, the Savior, the one who rescues us out of bondage, the one who spilled his own blood that we might have life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.